presenting Channeling Eric's Hour of Enlightenment.
Oh my God, I love you guys so much. And this is Alisa Medley with Eric's mom, and we have the wonderful Michelle Gray as our host. Hi, Michelle, and hi, Eric.
Hi, Alisa.
So much.
Eric says, I love you, Mom. I love you so much. She's blowing you a great big kiss and a hug.
Awesome. You know, I was working in the skater field, as I always do, today. And, you know, I just broke down into tears. Just gratitude of for the divine team. I love them so much. And they have helped. It's just a freaking honor. Can you believe they actually allow me to participate in helping co-create realities in people? It's crazy. Me? Little me?
It's amazing.
If you guys knew my flaws and quirks, you would think, what divine team were you freaking thinking of? But I'm so grateful. It's just,
yeah.
It's just crazy.
You are the perfect person, Eric says. He goes, Mom, you are the perfect person for it. You're handpicked.
Wow. Well, I'm definitely not perfect, but.
He says you're perfectly you. He said they needed somebody to fill this position that had a ton of compassion, a ton of heart, but he says could be real feisty when they need to be.
Oh, that's me.
And he said that when somebody messes with, and he's talking about like some of the entities and the negative energy in that, when that somebody messes with those that you love, he goes, you don't let them get away with it.
Oh, God, no. Mama Bear just protects her cubs.
Yeah. Yeah, and you do.
And you do, too. So Michelle and I were talking about the new exciting possibility of the channel. Well, we got the documentary coming, and that's pretty much a done deal. But also the producer that wants to create like almost like a Netflix series, like think Virgin River, or think Resident Alien, whatever, The Watchers, to create something. And I'm very excited about it because this gives me a chance before I die to awaken more people. And the producer, Melissa Shavala, that's her aim too. She wants to spend every dime she has to help awaken people, as she has been awakened on her spiritual journey. And I think it's just beautiful. I told Melissa that the most important thing to me with this series is to accomplish a few things. First, to basically make people not fear death so much.
Yeah.
Secondly, to make sure they don't grieve so much about the loss of their loved ones because they're really not gone. They're just in another dimension. Three, to understand the value of the human experience and how it should not be wasted with suicide. And four, I can't remember the cap. Okay. Four, to get the teachable moments out of the human experience, you don't have to suffer. There's a way that you can look at it differently, that you can say, wow, what can I get out of this? Wow, those are teachable moments, man. I'm so freaking grateful. Thank you. And then you can surrender the pain and the suffering. And it's easier said than done, I know. But so those are the things I want. And Michelle, what does Eric say about this series? I mean, it's not a done deal, obviously. We're talking about Hollywood, okay?
But he says, you know, and he's told me this, because I mean, I've talked about this probably a million times over the last few years, but he told me that something like this would come eventually. And, you know, everything that he has shown me is all the stars aligning. And when we were just talking a few minutes ago, and he just reminding me of this right now, that, you know, it has to be the perfect ingredient. And the perfect ingredient means the right people at the right time for the right reasons. And he's just saying that, you know, Mom, you would never go as far as to really talking about it and sharing it with everybody if you didn't feel it in your heart as much as you do. And he says, and that's a real signpost of what's to come. And he says the possibilities, because the thing is, he goes, what's being experienced right now? He says what's come to fruition is the possibilities of what we have already created. And he says, and so even us talking about it right now and us talking about it in that positive light and expressing the feelings that we have for the producer and how we have felt her energy and all of the pieces together, he says, helps make that possibility much stronger. Because he says, that's the thing, guys, that this is, you know, all of these things come out of being able to transmute energy. And he says,
yeah,
and look what it started on. It started out by the tragedy of our family, what we experienced, and yeah, we've been able to continue to transmute this energy into more and more healing on bigger and bigger stages. And he's just saying that it's going with the flow, which is extending to further to more people because of the energy that we all put into this.
Yeah, we have all invested. Yeah, I would like to say something about that. It's just not me and Eric and the mediums. It's everyone here that has made this happen, that has created this evolution. A lot of you who are listening to us today are light workers. And just by your mere existence, you raise the energetic vibration of the collective. So I think if this happens, it's thanks to all of you guys. It's thanks to all of
Absolutely.
You guys.
Absolutely.
But we're not
That's
paying
right.
you nothing. I'm kidding. No, I'm not kidding. And I'm not getting nothing for it either. So I just want you to know that I've refused to, you know, receive money on the backs of my son's death. So it's all going to go to just helping, you know, as this happens, of course.
Eric
anyway.
Says that we're all going to, watch. That's cool. He says, he's sitting eating popcorn, pouring his mouth, but he says, we're all going to sit and watch really a story of creation that we've all had a part in unfold.
Exactly. You've all had a part.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing. And so you guys, if it does come out, share it. And, you know, the whole thing is let's awaken people to reduce the suffering in the world, basically.
Yeah.
All right. So
Absolutely.
Today, because Michelle is awesome and Eric is awesome, we're going to talk about, you know, a little bit more about how to be present. Oh, that is a boondoggle for me. And mindful each day. So how can we do it? I mean, I've been an abject failure in that department. I mean, I try and I'm getting better, but not by much. So, and I guess because I'm in this scalar field so much that, you know, I just
yeah.
don't have the time. But, yeah, help us. Help me.
Well,
help me help.
Eric says, you know, he's also commenting. He says, Mom, just to add, he goes, you know, you're in the scalar field a lot. He goes, really, you are being mindful because you're in the present moment when you're in the scalar field. He says, you're completely in the present moment.
Oh, that's true. I have to be.
So,
otherwise, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And it's really a struggle.
Yeah.
I have to be constantly, because my thought creates reality, too, in the scalar field. Then,
right.
Not only in the
exactly.
script. And so it's really, that's probably one of the most difficult things, is to constantly be present. And,
right.
you know, that's why it takes
yeah,
so
and,
long.
And he, and as he says, and he's like, when Mom's in it a lot, like she's in that scalar field a lot, so you are in the present moment a lot. And no, he says, and it's not easy when we start to pay attention to it, because then we can really see, you know, when we're observing ourselves, he says, that's when we're in the present moment. Can we stop to observe ourselves? Can we stop to observe, you know, what's going on in that moment? How do we feel? What's going on around us? How are we connecting with the world in that moment? And he says, you know, this is something that really does take practice, because he says we're not naturally built with the world that we've been raised in to be in the present. He said, but there's so much going on around on the outside of us. He says, really, in not only living a happier, more peaceful life does being more present help you with, but he also says in connecting with spirit, spirit's in the present moment. So he says they're not in the past, they're not in the future, they're in the present moment. So practicing mindfulness and being present will also help you in connecting with your spirit guides and with your loved ones and everything too. So he's just saying that the very first thing with being mindful, he says, of course, is looking at the fact that, hey, I need to be more mindful. And he goes in, and what can you do right in this moment? He says, well, get into the practice of a couple things. One would be, he says, can you be in a moment and say, he goes, a few times a day, to start throwing this into your moment of when you're standing there, when you're waiting in line, when you're, he goes, because a lot of times we go into autopilot in different moments where we're kind of doing something repetitive and we go into autopilot. He goes, now, believe it or not, guys, he says, manifestation happens at all times. You are a creator. You're consistently manifesting. So if you want to start manifesting more purposefully, more of a conscious manifestation, practicing your mindfulness and presence will help you be able to manifest more of what you want and less of what you don't want. So what can you do in these moments where your mind might be kind of trailing off into the past, into the future, and rerunning something over and over again? He says, well, when you're standing there waiting or doing something repetitive, he goes, stand and say, put your hand on a chair and actually see in your head, chair. And he says, look down on the floor, say floor, shoe. If you're outside, sky, bird. He goes, start to connect with some of the things around you that you're actually seeing. He goes, so it doesn't take a lot of thought. You're just talking to yourself inside your mind and bringing yourself into your environment, bringing yourself into exactly the moment that you're in. Because if you can start practicing with that, he goes, then that's going to start to bring you into this vibrational presence. So he says, can you make that a practice, let's say for a week's time, a couple times a day? Stop and just go through the motions of, you know, counting how many pink cars there are. I don't know why I said pink, but he says, but well, getting into your me. Environment.
That's for people who can't count past 10, I guess.
But he says, bringing yourself into the environment would be the number one thing. He goes, and then the next thing you want to do is you can start to work on the feeling part. Because he says, the thing is that mindfulness is like focused energy. So we're focusing on the present. We're focusing on our environment. We're focusing on our being. And when we can be more present with what our observed emotions are or what we feel, we'll have the benefit of hearing our body and feeling our body before it's too late, meaning that our body will speak to us through discomfort or signs. And if we're mindful, we're going to pick up on that much earlier and easier than if we weren't. So paying attention to the body, paying attention to the emotions, to how I'm feeling. Am I feeling, and he goes, how many times have you had a bad morning? How many times have you started out your day and banged your foot and you couldn't find your keys and you couldn't find your bag?
Yeah.
And you go out the door and you're like all in a kerfuffle. And he says, so if you can be more mindful to say, hey, well, wait a minute. I've had a rough morning, had a few things go wrong. Take a deep breath. And he says, and just kind of observe that you're feeling frustrated and allow yourself to release that frustration, because that mindfulness of doing that small act will allow you to get to that next location and be aware that you were in this flustered, frustrated position. And so you have the choice then to turn that around. And he goes, and your energy will follow. Everything will follow that. So by practicing these little things, it's like playing a mental game with yourself, he says, to catch yourself and do these little exercises throughout the day. And he says, and if anybody's saying, well, I don't have time to do that, I'm so busy, I won't even remember to do that, he says, we all wait at traffic lights. We all stand in line.
Yeah.
He says, we're all in these moments where, he says, we daydream. So he said, this is catching ourselves only a couple times a day. And he goes, and we're daydreaming a lot more than we realize. And if you're practicing mindfulness, you'll pick up on that too. So he says, if you can catch yourself in these moments, he says, you'll start to find that the mindfulness and the being present tends to come in more often than the daydreaming. You start to catch yourself in the daydreaming phase where you can either stop something that's not good for you or that's not going to lead to a good place, or you can build on something and enjoy that moment that you're having. He says it just allows you to be more present with yourself, and in turn, it'll help you become a better listener. It will help you have more clarity for making decisions. You'll start to feel a sense of peace and a sense of happiness, because when we focus our vibration or we focus our energy in the present moment, our vibration rises. And so he says that continuous practice, the more our vibration rises, the more that we're able to consciously understand, the more clarity that we get, the more light that comes in. So he says it can't not be great for us. And he says one other tip he wants to also add is, he says, if you're somebody that carries a lot around in your head, if you're remembering a lot of things, and he says, this is a good tip for everybody for many things, but he goes, write it down. Keep a pad of paper or have your phone handy or however you keep your notes. He says, continuously write things down so you're unloading them out of your head. So you're able to take, and he goes, not just the list of things to do, but what are you worried about? Are you worried about somebody? Well, write that worry down and say, I'm writing my concern for so-and-so down. I'm writing my concern about, is this going to happen? He goes, write that concern down so that you can take it out of your brain.
And
so you can then say to your brain, you know what?
What is the benefit of that?
Well, the benefit of that, he said, is unloading your brain, unloading all the weight of excess thoughts and excess concerns. And he goes, and what it does is it, when we write something down, like when we write a concern down or when we express something, he says, we're releasing out of our body. Expression, he goes, if we're expressing something that's bothering us or on our mind, whether we journal it or we write it in a list, he says, we're then practicing unloading that, and it's teaching the subconscious. It says, it sends the message to say, I don't have to hold this in my head. I don't have to hold this in my body. It's not my responsibility to carry this around. And you know that you can go back to it and look at it and remember.
Right.
And he goes, and for a lot of people, that gives a sense of peace, because he says a lot of people are trying to remember so many things. And remembering is not just what I need to do, but thinking and remembering and storing all of these things that happen throughout the day or memories that pop up. And he says, if you can get into the habit of releasing that in one way or another, and he says on a daily basis, it will really clear up a lot of space, and you'll start to see how much room you have in your mind and how much room you have in to practice mindfulness. And it'll seem like a lot less that you have to sort out.
Wow. Yeah. Cause it's exhausting to hold.
It is exhausting.
Yeah.
It really is. And he says it'll create a lot of relief and it will create a lot of freedom. And he says it's an instant vibration raiser. So if you can commit to practicing that for a few days in a row, he says it'll only take you a few days to really feel a benefit.
Good. Anything else, to help us become present and mindful?
He says, one thing he'll add is he says laughing. Laughter helps you become very present. So he says, if you can laugh, if you can watch a good movie or anything like that that brings you to the tickle bone, allows you to laugh, he says that's a good way to practice mindfulness as well. But he says, other than that, that's pretty good for today.
Yeah, because spirit... like you, Eric, they have a sense of humor, and they love, like you, love pranking. And so, you know, there's something to be said for, you know, tickling the funny bone, basically, to help us be present and mindful. Yeah, it's good.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right, are you ready?
Says, Mom, that's good.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
We're ready. We are ready.
Okay. Let's see. We're going to take somebody from the 412 area code. Hi there. How you doing?
Hi, Alyssa. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Hi, Lori.
Okay. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Lori.
Hi. I lost my son, Jacob, and I'm really having a hard time adjusting to life with him not in it anymore, and I miss him so much. And, you know, I don't know. I just really not interested in this world anymore without my son in it. But I was wondering if Jacob had a message for me or his dad or his two sisters.
Yeah. Okay, hang on. Jacob's here. Jacob's here.
Okay.
I love you, Mom. He is always here. I got to tell you, as soon as you start talking, Lori, I can feel his energy. And his energy is coming around your shoulders. So he's giving me the sensation of being around your shoulders right now. Lori, he wants to tell you that part of what you feel as well, and he's saying that my mom can understand this, Eric, Lisa can understand this, is that you're soulmates, Kevin.
Yes,
so he says that you share that soul, and so that depth, but as a mother, and that pain is, the two of you are soulmates, so it's understandable that you feel what you do.
Yeah.
But he says, you know, he's got so much gratitude for you, and he says, there's a purpose to this, Mom. And what he keeps saying is, he says, to keep holding on, and he says, and hold on to the fact that there is a purpose and there is a light at the end of the tunnel through this.
Okay.
And that he's committed to helping you with this. He says he knows what he can do.
He's okay. It's okay.
He is better than okay. Lisa, he's better than okay. He's just saying to you too, like, I don't know if you're feeling like there's more that you should have done for him or your work, because he just says, Mom, there's nothing more that you could do for me. Because he wants you to forgive yourself for anything that you feel that you haven't done. He's saying, please forgive yourself, Mom, because I'm okay, and I know that there's a purpose to this, and I'm okay. Let me help you.
Okay.
Any message for anybody else in the family, like the dad or the sister?
He's just saying that I love you, and he's also, so he's in someone's dreams. Sisters having a dream about him, because he's showing the nighttime. So just if they haven't had one, they're going to have a dream with him, because he's got his bag, like I'm paying a visit. I'm going to pay a visit.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Take care,
okay,
Lori.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I know how hard it is. Oh, my goodness. All right. 505 area code. Hi there. How you doing? Hi, 505 area code. Are you there?
Hi. Yeah. Hi, Lisa.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. It's Danny. I was calling to see if you would be able to see if my ex-husband, Colbert, has any messages for me or my kids, our kids.
Where are you? I can't remember. I've talked to you so many times. But
New Mexico.
Where are you from?
New Mexico.
New Mexico. All right, Danny, New Mexico, Colbert. Any messages for Colbert?
Colbert, okay. Okay, well, something he's saying to you, he's talking about having patience. Have some patience, freedom. Are you trying to move? Is there something that you're trying to change with your family right now?
More, I guess more peace and less sadness.
Okay, because he's showing freedom, but he also shows some financial freedom too. But he's also saying for you to live authentically for who you really are. And he's saying that you, like, you're meant to help others.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So he's saying to you, and are you getting signs from him? Because he is showing being around you and, like, poking you on your shoulder, like, standing behind you, poking you on the shoulder, or trying to get the kids' attention.
Maybe sometimes, because sometimes I feel, it's not my shoulder, though, it's on, like, my head. And I know once he had mentioned something about rainbows. We've seen quite a bit of them. The kids, I'm not really too sure. I know my oldest has dreams, but the younger two, I don't think have really had too many signs.
Or maybe they can't express it.
They might not be able to express it in the same way, but he's got his energy is around you guys quite a bit, and he keeps saying, like, a doubt. He's using the word doubt, but he's saying not to doubt his presence, but he's also saying not to doubt yourself or not to doubt what you're able to do. And this doesn't feel like something that's completely connected for you, but he keeps saying in your ability to help others.
Oh.
So what you're able to do.
Yeah, what practical steps should Danny take then, both Colbert and Eric, if you want her to help others, or she is meant to help others?
Well, he's just saying in the life that you're living, he says from some of your experiences that you've had, you're able to help others from some of the experience. But he's also saying freedom and being your true self. So are you, like, do you hear spirits, or are you intuitive? Because he's showing it as you being somebody that communicates with spirit. He's talking about practicing with your intuition.
Okay, because while when he was still living, I always felt this connection with him. Like, I could feel him, his sadness, and, like, his feelings and emotions. I've never felt that with anybody else yet, or that I know of, but only with him.
Okay, well, he's calling it a process, so it's more of an unfolding. So it's like paying attention to his connections with you. And when you notice that he's there, when you feel him, to acknowledge him, to speak to him, to ask for signs, because he's showing like an opening of who you really are.
Ooh.
And when he says the word doubt, it's like this. Don't doubt it from him, because your connection with him is the way that you had felt it. It's like that for a reason. And so there's purpose into your connection with him and into going forward, and your kids are part of this as well.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Does he have any messages for our kids?
He loves them right away. He says, I love them. I watch over them.
Well, we love him and miss him very much too. And thank you guys for helping with us and bringing him through.
He's not gone. He's not gone.
Yeah, he says thank you. He just said that. He's like, look behind you. I'm not gone.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Danny, for calling in.
Thanks, Danny.
Love to have met Colbert. I think, well, he sounds like an amazing guy.
It seems like he's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Okay. 812 area code. Hi
there. How you doing? Hi. This is Lorraine. How are you?
Hey, Lorraine. What's up?
Hi, Lorraine. Welcome, Earthlings and invited guests. I have one quick question and then a big overview of what my main problem is. First, I just want to find out, has Eric heard me when I've spoken to him along with other archangels?
No. Oh, yes. Yes,
okay,
Eric says, yes, you can trust that, yes.
Oh, thank you very much. My situation is this. I've struggled financially my whole life, and it doesn't make sense because I was a straight-A honor student, did everything right, finished high school at 16, won design leadership and, you know, writing awards from ages 10 through 17,
wow.
Have a degree from a very good school. I majored in creative writing, and I minored in math. I can do multivariate calculus and things like that, although it's been a while. I have to refresh that. And yet, when I get to, I've had my whole life, I've struggled financially. Getting a normal job or people who appreciate what I have to offer, keep me working, keep me, you know, have enough money coming in to live comfortably. And it's been happening my whole life, and I can't do it anymore.
What's going on, Eric? Why is this happening?
How do I change it? Because I'm running out of time. At this point, I'm starting to feel like, why bother, you know? How many more years do I have? And what? And it's pointless.
Well, Eric just said to start to change things around a little bit, he says the easiest way to start to move the energy for you is to raise your frequency, is to raise your vibration. Because he says that... And let me ask you this, were you wanting to do something specific with your life? Like, were you wanting to write for your life? Because he keeps saying, like, you're okay. Because he says that there is a journey that you're on, and he goes, your dreams are not extinct. And he says, and so it's really important for you to hear this, because he says, your time is not running out, and he wants to make sure that you know that. Your dreams are not extinct, because he says part of hearing this today is it's hard when you're on a path when you feel like you're being pushed in the other direction. But you came here for a specific reason, and he says, and over time you start to lose hope towards that, and your frequency starts to go down because of life. And he goes, you know how you are inside, and he also says you're very unique. You're very unique, and he says whatever you have, there's something that you write about or that you might be doing, like, inside your own head that you don't feel would maybe benefit other people, because he's saying that dig deep in your writing, because you have a lot to share, and it's like sharing from inside.
Mainly what I'm writing, and it's projects I want to do with ebooks, writing about all the craziness I've been through with mistreatment and disrespect from everyone, from coworkers and bosses to right now neighbors being obnoxious to me, and bad dates, dating, and my family, almost everybody. I'm down to like 4 good friends. I had to drop a few. And so anyway, that's the first topic with that. I'm also a comedian. You wouldn't know it because I'm in pain right now, but I'm also a comedian. I have other projects I want to do regarding things like recordings and things like that. But it's just.
So what did you write about, Eric? Eric, what did you really write about?
Okay, so he says, trust. He goes, trust that that combination. He says your experiences. And being a comedian, he says that there is a book, but he's also saying, like, speaking. So I don't know if it's you speaking about your experiences, but he says that this is a process of something that's already within you. And he's showing writing and your comedy, but he says that there's growth in writing about your experiences, but he's talking about your ability, your unique ability to spin these experiences to not only make them relatable, but funny.
Thank you.
Well, what's the very
first
step? Can we get a very specific, practical step for her, please?
Because also, there's I'm taking legal action against the family regarding my dad's estate that's been horribly mismanaged. And every time I turn around, there's another employer that I have to take to court over. The last employer was the worst. Horrible, long-term unfairness. These idiots, and you'd be surprised who the company is. These idiots, my first 3 hours on the job, a woman who'd worked, a manager, who's second manager, who'd worked there like 34 years, said, "So you're the new front-end bitch." I said, "What?"
Oh, my God.
And the manager of the store who'd been there 14 years said, "You know, the front-end bitch." I said, "Please don't call me that." And I walked out. And that was day one. I said, "Oh, my gosh, they've earned a federal lawsuit on day one. This is a new record." And I'm in the process of that right now. And then after that's done, that's another book, because I'm exposing them for what they've done. And life keeps giving me the truth.
The story of the front end bitch, because a lot of people could relate to that. Eric, real quickly, and I think you probably need a longer session with one of the mediums, including Michelle.
Yeah, but it's not like a quick and easy answer, but Eric just said you can do some activities that help raise your vibration, because he says by being able to lift your vibration, it's going to help you look at some of these things differently and let the inspiration of comedy help you with some of these situations, because he says it's true, yes, that a lot of what you've been through has been heavy and been difficult, and it does weigh on you, but there's a purpose to this. So the easiest thing to tell you in this short a time is work on raising your vibration. Look at different things, whether it comes to cooking, whether it comes to being outside, whether it comes to listening to something funny. Do anything you can to raise your vibration and work on that daily.
Jim Gaffigan, stand-up comedian, you got to watch him. He's so amazing. He's
Jim
so funny.
Jim
Gaffigan. He will make everybody laugh without dirty words. I love him so much.
I know that guy.
Is Lorraine an earth angel? Is that why she's,
yes.
I knew it.
She is.
Because she must have had to come in with a friggin' high vibration in order to...
Yes.
To tolerate all the shit on her plate of incarnation, right?
What Eric says is she also has like a starseed in her as well. And he says that part of what the soul journey is some of these difficulties. He says when the vibration gets lowered to a certain level, he says that the experience becomes very heavy and very challenging.
Yeah.
But he says that the best way to be able to combat that is to trust that there is another purpose to this. It's to work on that trust to see the other side of things. Because he says that you have to be able to allow another truth to come in, meaning that, yes, this is not pleasant what you're experiencing, but there is a purpose to it, or there's something more to it that you will learn if you can be open to it. So he says trust is a really big point, that you can experience things differently. Trust in yourself and trust in the universe.
But is this like the reason why when I started a job, some people just are hateful toward me, or
you're a mirror. Eric says you're a mirror. So a lot of what happens is you get people that will come up to you and you will mirror back to them something that they necessarily don't like in themselves. So they'll start to create, it's almost like a resistance to it towards you. And when you don't know that, it's very hard, Eric says, to not take it personally. When people will mirror something back to you, he says, if you don't understand how the energy works, that can put you in a whole different place and really get your back up, because it's very personal and it feels very personal.
Yeah.
But he says all you can do is to look at what happens to you and how it makes you feel, and whatever is not within your responsibility that someone projects at you, he says you have to let it go.
Yeah, thank you.
In that moment.
Thank you for calling in. I'll tell you that in case you guys don't know what it's like to be an earth angel, like I think I've said, these are beings that come in with an extraordinarily high vibration, and they have to because they put so much crap on their plate for this incarnation. And so a lot of times they suffer so much by design. And, you know, they can take it more than most because of their vibrational energy is so high at the beginning. But, of course, that can drop like, you know, like a lead balloon. And, you know, after so many losses and traumas and hardships, et cetera. And there are not many earth angels around. There's like a little over 8,500 at any given time. So, you know, and usually you kind of know if you're an earth angel because you might feel lonely and you might feel like you don't belong and you might have had just a terribly difficult life. So be aware of that. Are we going to take the next caller? Hang on. 250 area code. Hi there. How you doing?
Hello.
Hi there.
Hello.
How you doing?
It's Azat. Can I talk?
Hi. What's up?
Hi. Hi, Elisa. Hi, Michelle. Hi, Eric. I would like to hear from my son, Dennis, please. I like to know if he has any messages for his dad and his sisters and Chelsea and Colleen.
Can you say his first name again?
Azat. His name is
Azat?
Dennis.
No,
my name is Azat
Dennis.
Dennis.
Okay. Okay. Did he pass very suddenly?
Yeah. He did. There was no closure. And
okay,
because
that's what he's coming through with just saying is like a regret in not having that opportunity to be able to say goodbye.
Yeah.
They're not
sure if it was an accident or suicide.
Oh, okay. Because that's what he's first of all wants to let you know he's in peace. He does say that he had some indecision in his, at the end of his life. There was some indecision within him. Some issues with his own self-esteem.
Yes.
Like how he was feeling.
Yeah.
So he's just wanting to let you know that. He's letting you know what was going on. But it's very important that he tells you that he's at peace right now. He's got peace.
So
he wants to make sure you know he's not suffering.
Good. Was it an accident?
He says it was not. He says it was not an accident, no.
Oh, okay. He deliberately did it. Because
What he says
I heard
that
he was getting better, and I was very hopeful that he finally got out of depression. But then suddenly this happened, and we just couldn't understand if it was an accident or it was deliberate.
Did he just start antidepressants by any chance?
Pardon me?
Did he, just before, did he recently start on antidepressants?
No. No, he was refusing to take anything. He was, because of his sleep problem, he started using street drugs. He was using fentanyl. And we don't know if he, by accident, he overdosed or deliberately.
Okay. All right. Let me just explain. He's explaining. He's explaining what's happened. So it was taking drugs was, okay. Because he's saying having indecision, but he also says he was not okay.
Right.
He also says that he takes responsibility for his life, but it was not intended suicide. He says it was my choice.
Okay.
Meaning that he
didn't
intend to die that night. That was not his human choice, but he also says that there was part of him that didn't care what happened.
Oh, I got it.
Okay. Was this the reason, like, they had an argument with his girlfriend, and that's after that it happened. And we never know if it was the reason why he chose to do this.
He said that it was like a pressure cooker. So he said there was too much in the pressure cooker, and he says that that's what blew the lid off. So he's not blaming that as being the reason, but it's like a tipping point for him.
Yeah, the last straw.
The last straw that sent him in the direction, because he shows being away from drugs, so he must have quit for a bit been away.
Yes.
Like showing I'm getting my life together, like everything's going to be okay.
And that's why we were so hopeful that finally after 4 years of suffering, he was finally putting everything together again.
Of course.
And then
he says that it was like a, he's calling it a temptation.
Right.
A temptation to get relief.
Right.
He had a lot of challenges with feeling a sense of relief. He had a hard time feeling a sense of peace in his body.
Right. We all feel very guilty. If there was more we could have done. I did everything in my power. I couldn't help him anymore.
He says that because he says, I love you. He says there was like a fork in the road that happened on a spiritual level. He said that this was not his knowing in the physical body, but he says there was a fork in the road that it was going to go in this direction, and he wants to let you know there's nothing that anybody could have done to change how it was going. He says he's got no one to blame, because he doesn't want to blame his girlfriend or anybody else in the family, because he says there's nothing anybody could have done. He's letting you know that he made conscious decisions that led to this, but he's also saying that he's understanding that there is greater purpose for him. And he says for you to have faith in what he's saying tonight, because you will have more revealed to you to in a good way, to understand and to have more peace with what's happened. And he's saying that in a way of him being able to be there for you, being able to spiritually connect with you and to let you know that he is still there. And he's also talking about there being change occur in the family because of his passing for the better.
We're falling apart, all of us. We're not the same anymore.
No, he said it's going to be okay.
In the family. I know this. This is what happened to us, too. I can guarantee you there was like an atom bomb.
Right.
Blew up
right.
in our family. But then things did change for the better, and that's probably going to be the case for your family, too.
And who greeted him? Who greeted him when he first got there in the spirit world?
There's a grandmother.
Grandmother?
A grandmother. There's a grandmother that's there. An older woman. I'm going to say an
older
woman.
Give me an initial? Can you give me the initial? Which grandmother, I wonder?
I've got the initial E. The initial E.
No.
There's an E. It could be in a middle name or something, but there's the initial E.
No.
It could be an ancestral grandmother.
There could be a great-grandmother. It's hard. She's an older woman than I'm seeing. There's also, did somebody lose a baby? Somebody lose, like, a miscarriage or lose a baby? Because there's a small light that was, like, that had not been brought fully into the earth.
Yes.
That's there.
Yes. His girlfriend was pregnant with his child, and she was in a car accident, and she lost the baby.
That baby was there to greet him.
All right, Azat, I hope that brings you some peace. Let's go on to somebody from the 646 area code. Hi there, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you for taking my call. I'm Miranda.
Miranda.
Hello. Thank you. So I'm hoping Eric can help give me some advice or whatever he picks up. I'm trying to start a business, and I'm wondering if clients will come, what will it pick up, or whatever he sees around this.
Okay. Are you, is there like a particular clientele that you're focused on? Like, are you focused on like more specifically women, or?
It could be men or women. Yeah.
Men or women. Okay.
A very specific.
He's showing me a lot of feminine energy.
Okay.
I don't know if you're going to have a slew of clients come in with feminine energy or not, but, okay. So what he's saying is that like starting out, so whatever you've done to start out right now, he's talking about there being like a little bit of time before things start to pick up. He is saying that you're going to have clients. And so he shows me like trickling in, coming in like one after another, and then you start to pick up. I'm not really sure exactly what it is that you're doing, but he shows like some kind of care that you're giving. Like, is it, or like, are you counseling them?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
Because that's the type, that's the type of energy that he's giving around them, because he's saying that there's a lot of nurturing that's coming for you that these people need. Like, there's something specific, maybe more than what you realize that you're giving them, but he's talking about you being very energetically aligned with what you're doing.
I am. I feel very called to do this work, and I'm hoping that the clients will come, because I'm
and
actually...
And they will.
They will.
Eric has said this to me before, to myself personally and to others, and always makes me laugh when he says it, but he says, if you build it, they will come. And that's how it's meant. Was that from Wayne's World or something? If they build it, they will come.
That's
exactly what's happening.
Field of Dreams. Oh, my God.
That was Field of Dreams.
Oh, was it Field of Dreams?
Field of Dreams. Yeah. All right.
He's saying like this is a success, and so that's what he wants you to like. That's all you need to know. This is already a success, so it's not like will they come. It's like when they all start to come. So you've got nothing to worry about.
Yeah, because I was a little worried because I tried before, maybe I don't know, 10 years ago or something. I tried to go on my own and got a website. Nothing came of it. So, you know, that's why I'm like, is it going to work this time?
Ask for help from your God. Eric, for sure.
Yeah. All the time.
Yeah.
I got faith
for
help.
Good deal.
So you're Eric is just saying that it's your guides that are conferring with other guides. Like your clientele is already picked.
Awesome.
Like they're already lined up for you. So just show up.
Show up. Do your thing. Work your magic. Okay, you got somebody from the 919 area code. Hi there. How you doing?
I'm great. Thank you so much for taking the call.
Thank you.
My name is Kay.
Hi, Kay.
Hi. Things are finally starting to work out for me. My energy is changing. I finally just got a job that is absolutely an amazing opportunity. I got the offer yesterday. And with that, I met this lady. I was manifesting something and didn't realize what was coming. And I was just wondering if my mom and Eric can kind of give me some direction to see if this is really what I'm praying it is.
What's your mom's name?
Her name is Gladys.
Gladys. All right.
Oh,
and
I
the
love
lady's
that
name?
I love it too.
Karen.
Right, Gladys.
Karen.
Okay.
The answer is yes from your mom right away is yes. You know it. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow.
And see, your mom is sweet.
Yes.
Your mom
she
has a
when
very
I was only a
sweet
year
energy.
Old. She passed when I was only a year old, but I've heard nothing but wonderful things about her. Nothing. And I feel her with me all the time.
Yes. Yes, I bet you do, because she came in real quick, and she's got a very sweet and strong energy, and she was just like, you know it. Yes, it is.
Oh, good.
Yeah, all right, Erica,
caught both of us off surprise. I think he caught both of us off surprise, yeah.
Eric, what do you think? Do you have any 2 cents, any advice?
Yeah, Eric's just saying, like, prepare for more good changes. Like,
thank you, Eric. thank you.
Yeah, he's saying that this is what you've been manifesting, and he says so. He goes, trust all those signposts that you keep getting, because he says, you know, everything is connected. So when good things go on in your life in different areas, it will just keep spreading. So the more that you enjoy those good things and those good changes, the more good that will keep coming. So he says, enjoy it. You created
it. Thank you.
That's wonderful.
Thank you all.
Yeah.
Thank you, and good luck. It sounds like, oh, my God, it sounds like things are just going in the right direction for her. Let's hope that happens to every one of us, right? Okay? Pray for that. Pray for everybody to have good things happen in their lives. Because you know what? We all deserve it. Why?
Every single one of us.
Yes, because we are all whole and part of God. Who could be more deserving than that? Okay? All right, got somebody for the 925 area code. Hi there. How you doing?
Hi, Lisa. It's Kristen.
Hey, Kristen. What's up? Kristen from California. What city?
Reading. Up north near Mount Shasta. Yeah. I'm calling about my son, who's 20, and I just worry about him. Sometimes I feel like he's depressed. Maas.
Okay.
I just was wondering if, yeah, it's a Dutch name. Eric has any advice.
I love it.
And then I was wondering if any scalar energy would be good, or if he has a previous agreement that it wouldn't help.
Oh, okay. So let's see here. Did you already get some scalar work done on him?
I have not, no.
No, I would recognize that. I remember that name.
Yeah, because he feels like he's had some, or do you do energy work on him at all?
No, I just have been trying to visualize and manifest and, send love and light.
There's something that's been worked on him recently, and it feels like someone that's directed it onto him. So,
I ask Eric all the time.
Okay, that's what it is. I'm trying to piece where it's, because I'm like, this feels like there's like somebody's already doing something. That's it. So Eric says he wants to just answer like to trust, trust that everything's going to be okay. And he says it's kind of hard to accept some of the things that are happening or what he's going through. But he also says that there's purpose for this. There's purpose for what he's experiencing. And for what is coming ahead for him in his life.
Okay.
He's also saying, like, is Moss looking for, like, some answers right now for something, or he's got some sort of doubt? Is the doubt in himself or in a situation?
Yeah, the doubt is in himself, for sure. Yeah.
Okay.
He's difficult to communicate with, but he's very sweet.
Okay, Eric says scalar will be helpful for him. He's suggesting to do the, I always say this wrong, Elisa, the energy repair, the ERP.
The main service for the whole household.
Yes.
Yeah, because it does so much. It releases trapped emotions. It blocks lead through from previous lives. I mean, it's a lot. So, okay, maybe.
Yeah, I can get that.
Yeah,
okay,
that would be helpful for him. He says to continue, like, he says, we're aware, meaning like his spirit team, that we're aware, but he says that you're a healer
and you do have your prayer and your energy of visualization is very effective. So he says, continue to do that. And he just says there may be some bumpy stages, but he's saying, like, just to keep trust, going through it and trust, because it'll come out the other side.
Can she alone heal him so that he doesn't have to get the scalar work?
He says the scalar work would be helpful in this case, but her connection with him and her ability to be able to help him, especially energetically, has a lot of power to it. So, yes, she could, but he's almost saying, like, the scalar is like having a boost, like having a little boost. But what it might do, now he's just saying, just to let you know, and this is a good thing, but it'll help lift some of this heaviness to the surface, which might mean that he has something take place that is a catalyst to help him get better, but it might not look like that right at first.
Oh, okay.
So he's not saying this as a negative thing, but just say, like, if you see something happen or you think, oh, this is going in the other direction, he's saying that this is actually to help it get better.
Yeah, sometimes when you release and clear trapped emotions, it can create some emotional upheaval at first, but then that clears away, and it's definitely worth it.
Yeah.
All right, so thank
he's
you.
He's just got all kinds.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
If I want to talk.
Oh, gosh. Okay, I'm sorry. You're back on. Sorry about that.
It's okay. I just wonder if I get the scalar energy, and would it be good to talk to Michelle? Is that you?
Yes. Yeah, go ahead and email me, and any questions you have, I'll help you with.
Okay,
thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, I love you all, and y'all check out Michelle Gray at thehealingh-art.com, which will be in the description box. I love you all. I love you, Eric. I love you, Michelle.
Love you, Mom. Love you, Lisa.
So, smash the notification bell, hit the subscribe button, and share, people. Love you.
Love you. Good night.